Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Those of you who listen to this show probably have realized that generally now I'm broadcasting out of Revolution Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays. We can also be heard on TalkStream Live. I just click the Revolution Radio A icon. We're heard on Player FM, another place called TuneIn, and there are some old shows out on YouTube under Skills Solon, if you search for that. On YouTube are out on Contemplate Creation. And I really recommend that you listen to those. My producer, I guess we would call him my producer, has been doing a fantastic job on these YouTubes. They're just, the visuals are great. Podbean is another place and that you can hear us. It's an ultra simple podcasting publishing solution. There's another company that's picked us up that's, you know, making the shows available. Since I haven't pursued copyright on anything, it may seem to be spreading out slowly. We did have one program get pulled off of YouTube because of the censorship that YouTube is doing. I don't know if you've paid any attention to this, but the free speech is under assault very much because this New World Order that Billy calls the Secret Dark Order is really clamping down. So there's another place that you can listen to programs like these, and it's out on bitchute.com, which is a good place to go to. So today I'm going to talk mostly about a section in the Might of Thoughts, which talks about some very interesting stuff in regards to the difference between emotions and feelings. It also discusses some concepts regarding trains of thought. But before I dive into the specifics of that, I wanted to just briefly cover a few other ideas quickly. First of all, some of the news. One little thing I hadn't had the chance to talk about on the news is a freak summer hailstorm that buried Mexico City under about 5 feet of ice. And this is in Guadalajara, one of Mexico's most populous towns. It happened there a couple weeks ago. They had 5 feet of ice. The ice just kept coming down. A freak hailstorm blanketed the city. And I don't know how long it took to clean up that whole thing. The climate is really under assault because of overpopulation. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about overpopulation today because that's a controversial subject. I'll try to make myself a note about that so we can come back to it later. Just bear with me here a little bit. Okay. So, anyway, that was part of the news. The other thing that I covered briefly on Revolution Radio is something that's coming. And believe me, I will get to the Meyer material, I promise. There is in the United States something called the National Radio Quiet Zone, and it's in part of Virginia and part of West Virginia. I'm about an hour and a half from West Virginia here, so I might have to make my escape to this area. It's an approximate rectangle of area where there is no cell phones. There is no cell phone towers. It's about one dimension is 107 miles on the north edge, 109 miles on the south edge, and about 120 miles on the east and west edges. It's about 13,000 square miles total. It involves part of West Virginia, Virginia, and just a tiny sliver of Maryland. There's a lot of the elite that are starting to move around now. Some are going to New Zealand. Others are moving to this area I just described called the National Radio Quiet Zone. James Cameron is one of these people. He's the guy that wrote the Terminator movie back in 1984. He's moved to New Zealand, and I've heard he will also move to this area in West Virginia. Green Bank is where the big telescope is that's supposed to be listening to the cosmos. So why would you do this? Well, let me read something from something called Silent Weapons and Quiet Wars, because right now the public is under attack. We don't really understand it, but we need to fight back. So consequently, in the interest of the future world order, peace, and tranquility, it was decided to privately wage a quiet war against the American public. Now, this is a document that was allegedly found somewhere in the Pentagon, I believe in a copy machine or something along those lines. To wage a war against the American public with an ultimate objective of permanently shifting the natural and social energy of the undisciplined and irresponsible into the hands of the self-disciplined, responsible, and worthy few. This is what Billy calls the secret dark order. Because of this, it says here, it was necessary to create, secure, and apply new weapons, which, as it turned out, were a class of weapons so subtle and sophisticated in the principle of operation and public appearance as to earn themselves the name quiet weapons. And that's what we're in now. We're in a war. People don't realize it, but we're in a war right now. And the next phase of this war involves something called 5G. And 5G is the next rollout of this whole, you know, it's kind of confusing because we've got a certain amount of the web which goes through cables. I don't even know why we are going to cell phones and Wi-Fi. Well, I do know why. It's to reduce the population. And the elite has decided to kill off a bunch of the public. We really do have an overpopulation problem, but of course you can't just kill people, as the elite are planning on doing. So, again, I'm going to run through this quickly and then get to the Meyer information. But I still think this is worth going over. I'll just tell you quickly what are the list of, and this is Dr. Angie Kolbeck, who gave this list, and this is the health effects of 5G. Causes cancer, oxidative damage, deoxyribonucleic acid damage, DNA failure, memory loss, dizziness, anxiety, brain fog, nosebleeds, cognitive problems, exhaustion, the precursor of congestive heart failure, decreased attention spans, lower reaction times, involuntary contractions of muscles, which can lead to the misalignment of jaws and spines, breast cancer, disrupted immune function, reproductive and fertility effects, and also changes in your stress proteins. Well, that's just from 30,000 feet. So this is what the elite has decided to do. So that National Radio Quiet Zone may be a place to go in the future. So who is this guy, Billy Meyer? He's in his 80s. I think he's 82. He lives in a place that people refer to as Hinterschmidruti. Hinter means behind. Schmidruti is a tiny mountain village about 35 miles east of Zurich in the snow-capped mountains and the beautiful green pine forest of northern Switzerland. When Billy was about 5 years old, he started getting telepathic messages from a man named Svas, who was an extraterrestrial human who lived on a planet, Era. And Era is some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. The Meyer information explains that our universe has seven different space-time configurations within what the Meyer information refers to as the material belt. Our universe is roughly egg-shaped. It spirals, and it has seven rotating layers. These seven layers, they counter-rotate against one another. The fourth layer contains all of the stars, the galaxies, and the solar systems. And that layer of reality, of physical reality, is also divided into different space-time configurations. So these extraterrestrials move through time and space far faster than the speed of light, but they also step out of our time and space and make these jumps, and where they can move incredible numbers of light years in the fractions of a second. And when they do that, they also can travel between these different space-time configurations. Now, Sfas people have been called the Pleiadians for many years. They're not from our Pleiades, but they are from this Pleiaron star system in this different space-time configuration. And they settled that star system about 230,000 years ago. They came from Lyra Vega, which was at that time plagued by wars. And a leader, one of their leaders named Asael, brought something like 200 and something, I'll just leave it at that, spacer ships, these large mother ships, and hundreds of other smaller ships. And they came to this solar system, and they began to terraform three planets there. One of these planets is called Era. I don't have the names of the other planets right up on my notes here. I do apologize for that. A bit of my lack of preparedness in some ways. Sometimes I just have to go with these impulses, and we'll talk about these impulses a little bit more. So Sfas, back in 1942, contacted Billy physically the first time. After several telepathic contacts, he landed his silvery pear-shaped craft in a field near a forest near Bulach, Switzerland, where Billy grew up, which is very far north. And Sfas took him up in his ship and told Billy that he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. Now, we don't call these people by their correct names. These are the names we use today. And when Billy lived these other lives, he taught some of the information that I'm going to give you today that deals with what is called the teaching of the spirit. And every human being has within them a spirit form, which is a fragment, a tellstock of the universal consciousness. Our universe has a consciousness. It has an intelligence. It's neither good nor evil. It's not a personality. It doesn't really coincide with the concept God, but that's the closest concept in some ways we have. But it's really not a God. It's a spiritual intelligence. And it is referred to, our creation, our universe, is referred to by a German word that is a compound word, and it's called Wesenheit. And if you look in the Fige dictionary, which is Billy's group, that'll say internatural form. But it also, if you look it up in like dict.cc, which is a good website for German, you'll see words like universal essence as one of the possible definitions for the word. In Billy's book, The Psyche, the Wesenheit is defined as an immaterial existence form without a self-determining possibility for evolution. So the Weisenheit is used for certain things like energies, waters, stones, and gases, but also referred to our creational universal consciousness, the supreme intelligence in our universe, is also called a Weisenheit. And it follows a predetermined plan for its evolution. It expands for 155.5 trillion years. Our universe has been expanding for 46 trillion years. And it has a sister parallel universe called the Tao universe, which also started the same time our universe did as well. So I speculate that our universe has no, or very little, it doesn't have the same level of self-determination that human beings do. It doesn't violate the laws of our universe. It follows these evolutionary patterns step by step. Let me give you an example. A Weisen in the German would be a cat, a dog, a bird, a horse, a human, a deer. And Weisens, yes, they have a personality. And they also have self-determination. Now, examples of Weisenheit would include universal consciousness, stones, waters, certain energies, gases. These Weisenheit, I apologize for that phone in the background, if you could hear that. The Weisenheit, they have no personality. And they have no self-determination except the universal consciousness, which has a limited amount of self-determination. So I've given you just a little bit of information on the universe and the universal consciousness. And this is important. It will tie in with some of the things we'll talk about today a little bit later. And it kind of also goes back to Billy's meeting with Svath, because Svath started teaching him about the concepts related to the teaching of the spirit. So if you look at our universe, it's a super intelligence. It has been evolving for 46 trillion years. It really doesn't have a personality. It's not a father figure like our religions say. It doesn't really have that much self-determination. It's a spiritual energy. It doesn't violate any of its laws, and I'm going to talk about some of these laws. Humans can violate the creational natural laws. We can be lazy. We can do all kinds of stupid stuff. The universal consciousness doesn't do any of that. It has what's called a life determination, a purpose. And we also have a life determination. This is another compound word in the German, the Lebensziel. Is our life determination. And that's in The Goblet of Truth, another one of Billy's books. It says, because everyone changes inexorably in order to unfold, evolve, so that he or she may fulfill the determination of life, the universal consciousness has a Lebensziel. It has a determination. It has a purpose for its life. We human beings do as well, but we often don't follow that Lebensziel the way we should. Now we have this innermost self that's called the spirit form. And Svath knew about Billy's innermost self, and he realized that his Billy's spirit form was very, very ancient, 9.6 billion years old, I believe. And that's why the extraterrestrials contacted him, because they knew that he was going to be a teacher again. because the Earth is entering into what's called the new time or the new era. It began roughly in 1844 and lasts the first 185 years, I believe. It started in 1844. It goes until about, it culminates, its high point is in 2028, and it continues to go from that point on. Here at the beginning of this new time, there's going to be a lot of chaos, and we're seeing that, and it's because we're being affected by the energies at the center of creation. These are radiating outward and are causing us to evolve more quickly than we can almost handle. If you look at the center of our galaxy, and you would look at just one, what's called a parsec, or look at one little square of area, which is actually quite large. If you look at one little parsec, which would be about 3.26 light years. Again, I don't have this particular area of my notes right in front of me. There would be 10,000 suns, red giants, in that 3.26 light year area. Now, we on the Earth are out here in one of these spiral arms of our Milky Way galaxy, and our nearest star, besides our own star, and let's just forget the fact that it has its own binary twin that's about a light year away. The next nearest star system is 4.6 light years away, which is Alpha Centauri. And you got 4.6 light years with two star systems. There would be 10,000 star systems if you were at the center of our galaxy in that area. So we're getting blasted with all the energy of all of these stars, and it's affecting us very, very profoundly. It's speeding up our evolution. It affects our spirit form. Affects our physical body. We also have something called a Lebenskraft, which is another compound term. And it's talked about in the Goblet of Truth, another one of Billy's writings, chapter 22, verse 16. It says life power. We have a Lebenszeal, which is a life determination, which is our purpose, is to evolve our consciousness. We have a life power, which fluctuates on a daily basis. And let me read what it says here in the Goblet. It says, you human beings have a larger innermost self, the spirit form, which animates your consciousness block as a tiny part piece of creation. Therefore, your life to power is dependent on it physically, i.e. bodily. So this spirit form that we have, our spiritual consciousness, is a fragment of the universal consciousness. And it is called our innermost self. And our innermost personality is of a purely spiritual nature. It is the creational high, whose quiet impulses of wisdom are not listened to or are seldom listened to by human beings in general. So the spirit form brings with it a spirit energy. And the spirit energy, the Geistenergie in the German, every spirit energy which is determined in order to enliven some sort of life form, whereby not only humans, animals, and all creatures, up to microbes, bacteria, and viruses, and so forth, are life forms. And this is a shocker. Also, rock, stone, sand, water, and so forth, these are also life forms, which belong to the vicissitude of the coming about and the passing away, is creational spirit energetic and is endowed, according to creational laws, with its own granted intelligence, through which the form of the living being, respectively the life form, is determined and steered. So, we have this spirit form. It's impulsing us with the quiet impulses of wisdom. And this is our guidance center. But we have to learn to listen to it. And Billy's third contact, a woman named Semyase, he used to land her ship there in the 1970s, and that's how Billy got all them beautiful pictures. She would step out of the ship, and she would tell Billy about the spirit form. And she said, every human has a spirit that does not die and does not sleep. It records everything that you do. It will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. So the spirit form impulses us, gives us these quiet impulses of wisdom, which it will tell us when our thinking isn't correct. And when our thinking goes awry, our life conduct doesn't go so well. Another compound term, Lebensführung, life conduct, and I think it's Goblet of Truth. That might be chapter 23. Your happiness is as fragile as moldy wood, and your life conduct is as useless as rotting fruit. So when our thinking isn't right, our life conduct goes afoul. I just wanted to jump through a lot of those compound words that mean so much in the German, and we'll get back to those later. I did not talk about the Gemüt, but maybe I'll just comment quickly. In your spirit form, in your innermost personality, you have something called the Gemüt, which regulates and looks after your spirit-based feelings and your spirit consciousness-based thoughts. Because we have thoughts that are of a spiritual nature, and we also have a material consciousness or a material intellect, which is our ego, which is not the best thing to follow. The ego is very damaging at times. It's your self-made personality. So in every human being, there are two personalities. One is the inner nature, the ego. And you create your inner personality, your first personality, according to your own guidelines. And that nature is demanding, it's calculating, it's garrulous, which means it's loud. So it's not listening to these quiet impulses of wisdom coming from your innermost self because it's too loud. You can't hear them. And it has what are called unvalues. Now, this is one of the hard thing for people to understand. It's kind of a spooky thing. We adopt unvalues, and we don't always realize it. Unvalues are values which are not correct. So, in other words, a sociopath can be compulsively angry all the time. That's an unvalue. He can be bored easily. This is an unvalue as well. Your thinking is corrupted, let's say. It's kind of broken, but you don't really understand it. You can tell something's wrong, but you don't know what it is because you have these unvalues. You know, if you have a, like, whole bunch of different sexual partners as an example of an unvalue. In other words, you have some things you haven't completely thought through, but yet you're holding on to these concepts. These are called unvalues. And when you have these unvalues, they make a way of life which is not healthy. The impulses from your innermost self, your spirit form, are what's called direction determining. In other words, they give you a direction. They keep showing you go this way. It's like a lighthouse, you know, throwing a beam out and the ship sees it and says, ah, okay, that's where the land is. And this direction determining nature of the impulse is very helpful if you learn to listen to it. The other personality is the innermost nature, the creational I, which is of a purely spiritual nature whose quiet impulses of wisdom are not listened to or only extremely listened to by the human being in general. They are direction determinings. And impulses give you a urge or a desire to act. And it's very nice when you can start to weave this out, when you can start to tell that you're getting these impulses from your creational nature, because you will get these an urge to act, a motivation, but you'll be very motivated. And they will be direction determining, and they will affect your Lebensführung, your conduct of life, and these impulses will also affect what's called your character pattern. And the two words here, the two compound words, one's character and the other one's muster. And the word mentioned in the Figu Dictionary in relation to unvalues is also brought up here in relation to this word. The character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. The word pattern is a model or a design used as a guide. The innermost personality is the character pattern that your inner personality should use as a guide. Your inner personality is your ego. Your innermost personality is your spiritual consciousness. So when you have what are called these unvalues, they're negative values, ethical badness. Negative values come from the inner personality or the ego. In other words, you can say she had a sunny personality. It was very engaging. This is a character pattern. Even though we really don't have a good definition of personality yet, if you look up, try to look up the word personality, you're going to see that you'll get different definitions. Might of Thoughts, page 390, and I just jumped way ahead. The human being is able to distinguish the various impulses and values of the innermost nature from the self-created personality. So he or she therefore learns to recognize the various forms of characteristic which on the one hand radiate as a guiding impulse from his or her innermost creational nature, or which on the other hand attempt to drown out everything as various piercing and often loud seductive voices from the self-created I. So your innermost creational nature is that fragment of the universal consciousness. It's the part of you that dies. When you actually do physically die, your innermost creational nature will leave your physical body. Your spirit form has no desire to stay in the physical body. And it's going to take with it your material consciousness, your personality in this lifetime, and all the knowledge associated with your life, and it's going to go into what's called the spirit realm. And it's going to take that material consciousness with all of the information associated with your material life and process it in a storage area called the comprehensive consciousness block. And it's going to create what are called evolutive values, values like love and wisdom and confidence and optimism and a sense of balance. These are called evolutive values. And your spirit form will absorb those, and it will get smarter with each lifetime. Your spirit form enters into the body of a child. When it's done processing in the spirit realm, it will go back for yet another lifetime, and it will enter into the body of the child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. The spirit form will bring with it a new personality that it created in that comprehensive consciousness block. And the wisdom of the previous personality is stored in the subconscious. And you start this new lifetime. 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form goes into an area of your middle brain called the superior colliculus. The area that governs sight, and the spirit form, it gives life to your consciousness and to your subconsciousness, gives life to your body, and it creates impulses for striving for that which is higher. The spirit form is no bigger than the pin of a needle, I believe. It's your spirit, spiritual self. It sends these quiet impulses of wisdom, what can be listened to by your inner nature, your ego. The inner nature can and should be formed out of the impulses of the innermost nature. And if you're evolving, you will learn how to pay attention and listen to the innermost nature. It has an innate wisdom. Your inner nature, your innermost personality has an innate wisdom, which is of a creational nature. And this innate wisdom will help you to understand things like the creational natural laws. The first creational natural law is the law of love. And this is the highest form of love. It's called effective love. And in Billy's wonderful writing called Love Letter 27, it says, "The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing will be able to exist." So this is the effective love that comes from creation. It's not romantic. It doesn't change. It's always stable. And it is expressing itself visually. Now, what do I mean? Well, another writer in that same letter says, love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So there's an absolute logic according to this love. It says also, the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. So the expression of this love is visual, and we can see in nature the incredible beauty. Now, what happens and is happening is because there's so many people that are not aware. They're living lives, they're going through life in a kind of a sleep state. So they see nature and they can run over it with a bulldozer. They have no empathy, they have no compassion, they have no moral reasoning, and this is why our country is falling apart. The opposite of that kind of attitude is called the law of love, where you live and help live. Then there's another law called the law of striving, which is the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life, and you'll have no sense of life without striving. And what we're doing here is we're learning the way to live, and Billy has a book just called that, The Way to Live. And one of the ways to live, to guarantee that you do continue to live, is the law of striving. That means you cannot escape from the law of work. You know, these people that are very, very rich that don't have to work, they're so miserable. The reason is, to be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life. So these, the rich and famous that don't have to work, they have affliction if they don't have something to strive for. Now, they can still strive. If they want, they can redirect themselves. They could really strive for big things. But inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution. So if you inhibit your striving, you're going to inhibit your evolution. And evolution is the purpose for us being here. We live through 7 evolutionary steps as human beings evolve. Through the law of striving, you're going up through 7 evolutionary steps. Most people on Earth are in the second stage. The first stage is the primitive stage, and then we go to rationality, which is we're supposed to be in the level of rational life. It's arguable if we're even there. Third is intelligent life. As we continue to strive, we'll evolve. We're on Earth not in intelligent life yet, just maybe some of us. The fourth level is real life, and that's where these amazing things occur with genetic engineering, and we develop spacecraft which can travel from star to star with almost no time passing. That's real life. And then we start to meet other races of human beings that are highly, highly evolved. Right now, it's very under the covers. It's very quiet. That's because our level of evolution is so low on the Earth that most people are not ready for this kind of information. People always talk about, well, I want a government disclosure. What they really should be saying is, I wish our society would evolve. Then the open meeting takes place. The meetings now are not open. They're on a low level, on a person-by-person basis. And there's really only one person that's had contacts like these. This is Edward Albert Meyer. This is because of his spirit form, which is 9.6 billion years old. The extraterrestrials can deal with his vibratory levels. They can be around him without being endangered. Our vibration of ignorance, as it's called in the book of OM, is so repugnant to the extraterrestrials, it's actually dangerous for their health. This is one of the reasons why Billy's contacts with Semyase had to be cut short, because she had a horrific accident. She fell, hit her head when one of the people from the center there in Switzerland came in accidentally while Billy was having a meeting. So I was talking about the law of striving. Everything is based on this law of striving. And because we're not up the evolutionary scale fast as far as we would like to be, we don't have things like open contact with extraterrestrial races. It's not, government disclosure is not really the issue. The issue is evolution of our consciousness. And if we could get out of the dregs of our lower levels of evolution, that's really our big problem in so many areas. Yeah, excuse me there. I'm probably making all kinds of noise. So that's the law of striving. Cleaning out your garage is a perfect example of striving. One thing I was doing today, doing your day job, whatever that is an example of striving. If you don't have a day job right now, looking for a day job is an example of striving. If you strive long and hard enough, even your hobbies can evolve into professions. The law of striving is required. If you don't strive, you have no happiness. That's about as simple as I can put it. The law of harmony is what we're going to talk about in the final 15 minutes of this show. Everything in nature has a bipolar structure. There's a positive and negative. That's the third creational natural law. It's called the law of harmony. And it's what's taught in the book, The Might of Thoughts. And one thing to learn in the law of harmony is the difference between emotions and feelings. I'll give you an illustration. My cats were laying in the garage earlier because I was cleaning out the garage doing my striving. I had the doors open. Several of my cats were laying in the garage, and the cat I call Oreo, which is a black and white cat with green eyes, a very beautiful cat. I moved one of the kitty litter containers with my foot and it made a noise. And Oreo, one of the cats, got scared and immediately ran out of the garage. Now, the emotion of fear could be seen on the cat's face, and the reflex associated with that fear was to run out of the garage. So the cat experienced an emotion, not a feeling. What is the difference between emotions and feelings? A fundamental distinction must be made between emotions and feelings because, in complete contrast to the philosophical and psychiatric and psychological schools of thought, they represent two completely unlike factors which in their form having nothing in common with each other. What is a feeling? The word in German is Gefühl, which means feelings, hunch, sense, sentiment. An emotion, and German word for emotion is almost pronounced exactly the same as we say it, are reactions. Emotions are reactions. My cat reacted to the noise and ran out of the garage. These reactions are caused by situations and states. So one of the skills we have to learn in the spiritual teaching is learning to evaluate what we're experiencing. And we need to learn the difference between am I feeling an emotion? Am I feeling a feeling? Why do we need to know the difference? Because emotions will lead you into trouble. And what happens with emotions are reactions or responses to reactions. It's a stimulus response type of thing. And these forces, they occur in pairs. So if one object exerts a force on another object, and the second object exerts an equal and opposite reaction on the first. So when people get involved in these arguments, they're not arguing because of feelings, generally speaking. They're arguing because of emotions. A reflex actions, sometimes instantaneous, and they're responding to a stimulus. Now, another example of an emotion you might call a reaction pattern. And the FIGA dictionary talks about reaction patterns. And there are reaction patterns that are possessed by animals and human beings. Animals like birds, fishes, reptiles, cats, dogs, we have reaction patterns. They're controlled by the brain. In the human being, it's controlled by the oldest part of our brain, in the brain stem. So these reactions are fast. These emotions are fast. They're like reflexes. They're hard to stop. They're very damaging at times. Feelings are created by particular lines of thought. Now, feelings shouldn't be squelched. You should let your feelings grow. Feelings are related to particular lines of thought. So if you imagine in your mind a train, a freight train, with an engine at the beginning and hundreds of cars behind it, and each one of those cars on the tracks are sequentially connected. They're all thoughts. You could think of that as a big line of thoughts. And Gedanke is the thought, the notion, the idea, the sentiment in the German. So feelings are created as a result of particular lines of thought, while emotions are reactions that are called forth by particular situations, states, and in forms which are specific to the individual, as well as forms that are external and environmentally conditioned. So allow your feelings to grow. Be very aware of your emotions, and if you can stop them, usually stop them. You'll have to instantly, if you think of putting your hand on a stove, you pull back instantly. That's kind of how you have to deal with your emotions. Now, Gedanken im Ghana, I'm doing my best on my my pronunciation, means lines of thoughts. I use the DeepL translator, and it said trains of thoughts or lines of thought. And it's a compound word, Gedanken. You've heard Gedanke for thoughts. Well, there's im Ghana, or pronounced im Ghana, which means in train, underway, in progress. So what it's saying in the Meyer information is that feelings are able to be created through certain lines of thoughts. And I really like the phrase lines of thoughts, because thoughts do seem to move in a linear fashion and they come in groups. And again, imagine many thoughts lined up, one following the other. Think of a freight train where the engine is pulling cars that are falling behind. And remember, feelings are created from certain lines of thoughts, while emotions are reactions called forth by particular situations. Usually your emotions will lead you into trouble, so get a handle on those as soon as you become aware of them. They're hard to handle. They're hard to stop. Your emotions can be very damaging and damage relationships. And this, I want to back step just a second. And this is from the Goblet of Truth, and it talks about a compound word that means thought impulses. So your thought impulses create these trains of thoughts, which eventually result also in feelings. Let me read what it says in Goblet, chapter 21, verse 15. But to do this, thought impulses are needed, through which then the will is built up, and through which then the life is changed, if you only let yourself be touched and guided by your inner nature. That those would be impulses from the spirit form. So the spirit form is sending those impulses of wisdom. The other personality is the innermost nature, which is your creational I, which is of a purely spiritual nature, whose quiet impulses of wisdom are not listened to, or only extremely seldomly listened to, by the human being in general. So we've been learning the difference between emotions and feelings. The emotion is a reaction. It's reflexive. It's usually a bad thing. A feeling grows from the thoughts or from trains of thoughts. So in the few minutes that we have left, I'm going to review something very, very quickly, which I think is probably the one thing that you'll have to depend on the most from the book, The Might of Thoughts. And these are important things to tell yourself when you feel your emotions starting to get triggered. You're going into the vicious circle of negative thoughts. Tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts, I strengthen my thoughts, I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. The universal creation law says that thoughts enlivened by might and power will have an effect, and that effect is directly proportional to the might and power of the thoughts. My consciousness is like a garden filled with flourishing plants. The negative and the positive are two forces that belong together and should not be separated. As a rule, suffering is an effect of some form of wrong thinking, and incidents of suffering in the life are indicators that the law of harmony has been broken and disregarded. This is in contrast to when tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and abruptly go from one extreme to another, whereby a misdirection of the thoughts arises, which triggers emotions and can even lead to murder and manslaughter. Unsatisfaction kills off all initiative for striving for that which is higher and lets the human being sink into brooding misery and into inactivity. In the life of the human being, enthusiasm for knowledge, truth, wisdom, and evolution can work wonders. As the saying goes, enthusiasm is like a magic spell which is able to newly form one's entire human existence. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show. I don't know how the sound quality will turn out, but you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. Look out on Contemplate Creation. I hope Stephen is going to be able to resume working on these shows. He's been doing a great job. And we'll talk to you soon. My name is Mark Snyder, and what we've been talking about is the Meyer Spiritual Teachings, particularly the book, The Might of Thoughts. Go out and get some of these books. They're so helpful. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.